This summer marks the 50th anniversary of the 1962 Seattle World's Fair, an event shaped by the Soviet Union's launch of Sputnik, President Eisenhower's creation of NASA, and President Kennedy's promise to put a man on the moon. KUOW reporter Harriet Baskus has the story of the remarkable event that brought us the Space Needle.
It's all here before your eyes, in dazzling, splendid, colorful array. Century 21, America's first space age spectacular, the Seattle World's Fair, 1962.
Anyone doubting that the Seattle World's Fair was indeed a space age spectacular had only to look at the giant space needle towering over the fair.
It just kind of looked like a rocket and a flying saucer all combined.
Knut Berger wrote a book about the history of the Space Needle, but in 1962, he was like lots of other 8-year-old boys, obsessed with space and excited about seeing the future at the World's Fair.
You know, we all expected to go to the moon and, you know, be spacemen and all that kind of stuff. We just knew, you know, this was all about stepping out into the solar system.
Sharpen up your spirit of adventure, because we've arrived at the Century 21 Exposition, crowded with the unbelievable worlds man is going to conquer, the most exciting glimpse of the future Americans have ever had. And there's more to come.
Exhibitors were asked to focus on science and space. No problem for NASA. The new government agency brought astronaut John Glenn to the fair and the space capsule that took him around the Earth 3 times. Washington State built the world of tomorrow. To get there, visitors rode a clear round elevator called the Bubbleator. At the controls, John Gessner, in a silvery spacesuit, urging 100 passengers at a time to
please step to the rear of the sphere.
Visitors would exit the Bubbleator into a giant hall filled with a honeycomb of cubes, futuristic displays, and video projections offering alternate views of the future, carefree and automated, or threatened by nuclear war.
It was dark, and the lights came on in these cubes, and it was all cube-shaped. And they wound around through this whole exhibit for 21 minutes and then came down a ramp at the end after President Kennedy talked to him from a video screen.
Some exhibits seemed influenced more by science fiction than by science.
The Forest Products Pavilion was a goofy, like, silly, futuristic kind of idea that this woman would be kidnapped by aliens.
It's a film, sir. She's riding her spaceship, and she runs out of, like, space gas or something, you know.
Alan Stein and Paula Becker are staff historians for HistoryLink.org. They're also the authors of The Future Remembered, a book about the Seattle World's Fair and its legacy.
Basically, the aliens look inside of her head, which they've given a goofy name, and they see what she's thinking about. And she's thinking about forest products.
Wood, the importance of wood in our lives.
If aliens had looked inside 13-year-old Bonnie Dunbar's head in 1962, they would have seen a Yakima Valley farm girl dreaming about going into space and to Seattle for the fair.
Well, I was excited to go because I was told there was space and that I'd get to see the future. I can remember that was the most exciting part to me.
Dunbar had one day at the fair, and nothing was going to get between her and the future.
So I was not feeling well. I wasn't telling my mother. And we got onto the moving sidewalk, and I think I recall some optical illusion rooms. So I threw up in my mother's purse, and then I felt great after that, and we finished the rest of the day.
After visiting the Science Pavilion, riding to the top of the Space Needle, and seeing John Glenn's space capsule, Dunbar knew for sure what she'd be when she grew up, an astronaut.
Yeah, I wanted to fly in space, and I knew that NASA was someplace I wanted to work. This was about going into the future.
Dunbar may have been ready to blast off, but in 1962, astronaut was not yet a real career option for girls. Paula Becker says while the World's Fair was taking place in Seattle, Washington, in Washington, D.C.,
Congress is holding hearings on whether women should be included in the space program in the United States. And during the fair, they actually determine, partially based on testimony from male astronauts, that no, women shouldn't be included in the space program.
John Glenn was among the astronauts initially against having female astronauts. But eventually, Dunbar says opposition to women's equality in the space program fell away.
Hindsight's 20/20. Cultures change over time. It evolved. The important thing is where we are now.
In 1981, Bonnie Dunbar became an astronaut. She went on to spend 50 days in space over 5 flights. She now works full-time encouraging others to study science and technology. Proof, she says, that Seattle's Space Age World's Fair was not just a flight of fancy.
It was really about educating and inspiring, and I was part of that audience. So if that was what they intended to do, it worked on me.
I'm Harriet Baskis.